Good evening. So we've been doing a series over the last few weeks around try praying, getting involved, you know, making sure that we actually not only think about praying, but we try praying and we do praying. We're now in episode 5 of this mini-series. You probably can't see it. It's a hearing, giving Father we started with, then Elijah's priorities. I might have a laser. Oh, the compassion, faith. And then this evening we're doing part one of restoration. I'm doing part one of restoration rain. And I even got rain on the slide, so I think I'd glean a little bit of, you know, minor point from that. So Glyn preached on this morning, and I'm going to be a little bit honest, I deliberately didn't come. And the reason I deliberately didn't come is because I didn't want to put myself under extra pressure seeing a trained theologian with many years' experience in preaching do the job, so I can, you know, feel more comfortable with what I'm doing. But I'm actually quite excited this evening to do it, so that's possibly bad, but we'll find out as we go along. Just to set your expectation about what's coming, I'm going to do a little recap because I want to explain to you a little bit about my journey as I prepared this week to preach. And there is, you know, it's based on the Bible, so that's good, and I read the Bible passage. But I don't know about you, because I'm not a massive, walk away from the thing, because I'm not a great, you know, a scholar of the Bible, and I know I should be more, when I just read the verses, I don't always get the right understanding. And there was actually two cases, there's only 8 verses, so it's quite a short read. There was two cases when I completely jumped to the wrong conclusion. When I read the verse, I thought, oh, it means that. And when I did more research, it meant something completely different, assuming the researchers came to the right conclusion. So I'll tell you a little bit about that, because I think that's helpful, because it's changed how I think about reading. The second thing I want to say is, I love this mini-series. I wish they'd televise it and make it a Netflix series. It's got loads of really exciting things going on. I super enjoyed last week. I'm probably going to spend longer talking about that than this week, just because I loved it so much. We'll see how that goes. But I think that's super important. And I'm really going to just talk about 4 characters today. I'm going to talk about the king, Ahab, king of Israel. I'm going to talk about Elijah, the great prophet. I'm going to talk briefly about Jezebel, who was Ahab's wife. And I'm going to talk about the anonymous servant. So those are the 4 people. The final thing before we get going is there is going to be a quiz. Genuinely, it's not a joke. It's not just a device to get you to pay attention. There's genuinely going to be a quiz later. There may or may not be fantastic prizes. I do know the answer to that already. And you'll find that out later. So there will be a quiz. So it might help you if you paid a tiny bit of attention, because it will help your scores later and you'll feel better about yourselves. So that's all true. Okay, happy so far? Okay, so we're talking about Elijah's restoration in the context of try praying, part one, rain. So let's go on. So brief recap. So if you were here last week, and very well remember the story then, you can click skip recap at the bottom right, and it will just continue. In the meantime, for the rest of us, I'll tell you the context for where we're going. So last time, so King Ahab was the 7th king of Israel once the kingdom divided. I'll talk a little bit about that later. He married a queen, Jezebel, from Phoenicia, which was just north of northern Israel. That was a very diplomatically good thing to do, because it got the tribes more aligned. But minor problem, she was not a supporter of Yahweh or God. She supported, as was quite common, multiple gods, Asherah, but notably Baal. So she worshipped different gods. And so once they got married, she brought all her prophets and priests. It was also fairly common at the time that the queen tended to be like the high priestess. That was kind of another role she adopted. So she, you know, her husband, Ahab, then built temples to support her religion, and the Israelites, who were indigenous in the region, were then, you know, exposed to multiple religions. So it was a confusing time. And it wasn't really what God wanted, because he wanted his chosen people to worship him, and there's these other religions and things coming into the picture. It's a difficult mix for them. And Elijah, who's you know, the rock star of this process, a prophet, really was unhappy. That as the kings had gone up through succession up to Ahab, they'd been getting kind of worse and worse, and Ahab was the worst. He was the one that was least focused on the one God, letting in these other gods. So Elijah, being a good prophet, he didn't like this, and he took Ahab to task for this. And last week what happened, my favourite for a long time, not that, no disrespect to any previous sermons, but it was such an exciting story. So this culminated in a showdown. Mount Carmel, which is a mountain range northwest of Israel, basically Elijah said to Ahab and the Israelites, look, you need to make a choice. You either worship this God or you worship other gods. You can't have everything. Right? So if Baal is so powerful, let's have a showdown. Let's get two burnt offerings. Let's put them so everyone can see them. And then first Baal, 450 prophets of Baal, you can come along and I want you to call your God and have him set fire to the offering. Right? You can do it. Surely he can do that. Surely. And when that's done, I'll have a go with our God. And I'll pray and I'll ask my God if he'll do that. And whichever one does it, that's clearly the true God. Fantastic. Super exciting. And so I was told last week, basically they allocated the morning for the Baal followers, 450 prophets, and from noontime it would be Elijah's turn to ask God to set light to the burnt offerings. And all day, the Baal prophets, all 450 of them, were busy trying to get their God to light the fire, and nothing happened. And my favorite part of all of that was Elijah was being quite derogatory. You know, we think about priests and things being polite. He wasn't. He was having proper banter. He was having a proper go at the prophets of Baal. He was saying, what's wrong with your God? Is he not around? Has he gone to sleep? Maybe he's busy. Maybe he's gone for a trip. Why isn't he listening to you? And it went on. You can just imagine. They were getting quite annoyed with that, I would have thought. And eventually they gave up. In the afternoon, all this going on all day, in the afternoon they gave up. And then Elijah says, okay, let's get stones from the altar of Yahweh, our God that you've broke. We'll put those. But I'm going to make it harder. I want them doused with water. I want you to soak these stones. I want you to soak the altar so that, you know, if it does catch light, that's going to be a proper miracle. And this is in the context that 3.5 years earlier, Elijah had prayed to God to say, I want a drought for this region because they're not listening to you and they need to learn. So there'd been a drought for 3.5 years, and yet they're using the precious water just to douse the altar so that if a fire came, it would be a miracle. Three times they covered it in water. And it says, and there was like a lake. And then once he prayed to God and said, God, in your strength, show these people, set light to this burnt offering. What happened? It was like napalm came down. It wasn't just the burnt offering ignited, it said the rocks burnt, the earth burnt, the water evaporated. Just complete scorched earth. Unbelievable. The power of God demonstrated for everyone to see clearly. That's the recap. And so we continue from straight after that moment. That has just happened, right? End of a long day, miracles have been seen, etc. The prophets of Baal were then taken away and dealt with. And we've just finished that day. It's been a long day. And we've just seen miracles. It'll be quite a cool day. Yeah. So, what happened next? So, 1 Kings 18:41-46. Elijah, the prophet, said to the king Ahab, go eat and drink, because there's the sound of a heavy rain. So Ahab went off to eat and drink, but Elijah climbed to the top of Carmel, bent down to the ground, put his face between his knees. Go and look towards the sea, he told his servant, and he went up and looked. There's nothing there, he said. Seven times Elijah said, go back. The seventh time, the servant reported, a cloud as small as a man's hand is rising from the sea. So Elijah said, go and tell Ahab, hitch up your chariot and go down before the rain stops you. Meanwhile, the sky grew black with clouds, the wind rose, a heavy rainstorm came on, and Ahab rose off to Jezreel. The power of the Lord came on Elijah, and tucking his cloak into his belt, he ran ahead of Ahab all the way to Jezreel. So, two things. I didn't know why he bent down to the ground and put his face between his knees. I have been doing yoga recently, much to my own disgust. And there's all sorts of very strange shapes. Some of them sound a bit like that. This was the traditional prayer position. So at the end of that long, massive day, he told the king, you need some food. But he went to pray. He climbed up the mountain and he went to pray. He probably praying thanks to God for having been, you know, shipped through the power and the grace to honor what he'd said he would do. The second thing was, tucking his cloak into his belt, he ran ahead of Ahab all the way to Jezreel. I didn't know how far that was. I didn't know, so I researched it this week. So, here's a bit of context. I'm going to use the laser. I never get to use a laser. So, on the left, this is a historic map of the region at the time. So, we're talking about 850-odd years BC, 850 years before Christ was born. So, Israel was actually, this is all Israel today, this bit. Israel was two parts because it had split some years before, and northern Israel was where Ahab was. And at the time, he was king of this northern Israeli part, and the capital was, I put a little star there, that was me, very good, Samaria. Samaria was where he ruled at the capital at the time. Mount Carmel is up the top left. You can see it's on the coast, so you can see out and you can see clouds. And in the region, they typically had rains twice a year, April and October. And the rest of the time, it would just be clear blue skies as far as you could see. And then Jezreel is the other red star, which is just along here. And Jezreel's where he had a royal palace. So he didn't live there, but it was another palace. Some books say it was actually more of a military camp. So then this one zoomed up. So they did Mount Carmel. That's where they had the big fire off. And then when that was finished, the chariot, he went all the way down there. That's about 50 kilometers, about 30 miles. So it's just over a marathon, if anyone runs. And at the end is a beautiful picture. That might be Elijah running along in front of the chariot. And it said the Lord filled him with power, and he put his tunic into his belt, and off he ran. There's a couple of explanations. It could be the Lord just filled him with power. He got some Mo Farah speed, off he went. The other reference says it was quite common to have runners before the chariots, especially for royalty. So actually what he was probably doing, he was probably honoring the king. He was honoring Ahab. He was saying, Ahab, you've seen God's power. You've agreed that that's the right way to go. Let's go back to your base, and I'm gonna honor you by running in front of you. But still, he did a marathon, so I was quite excited about that. Tiny bit, this is the last bit of history. So Ahab is here. So at the top, these are, you know, King Saul, David, Solomon. Back here, Israel was one united from the 12 tribes. It was one united region. There was a bit of a fallout around here. Rehoboam and Jeroboam, they had a fallout. And it split into the northern Israel, which was called Israel, and southern Israel was called Judah. And they all had their lines of succession. And Ahab was the seventh king in the northern area. He married Jezebel. Jezebel was Phoenician. So Jezebel was from up here. She lived actually near Tyre. And I say she married him, and it created a kind of a truce between those two regions and helped strengthen his rule. But she brought with it all Baal. And Ahab ruled between about 871 and 850 BC. Etc. Mount Carmel, that's a picture of Mount Carmel today. So down here is likely where they had the competition, the two fires and all that stuff. It was down because it's easy to see. It's relatively gentle slopes. When he finished, it said he went up. This is about 200 meters of sheer climbing here, and he'll have gone up to the top. And it's from there that he said to his servant seven times, can you go and check? Are there clouds coming? Is it going to rain? God promised me it would rain. I prayed for rain to end the 3.5-year drought. Has he done it? This is probably the best piece of Photoshop I've ever done. So that is the servant, clearly. You can clearly see it's the servant. He's on the top, and that is a cloud about the size of a man's hand, depending on where you are. Yep. brilliant Photoshop. I'm quite impressed with that. And finally, that is possibly historical ruins of Jezreel, which used to be the military camp. And you can see in the distance of the mountains, and beyond that's the sea. So in northern, and it's a long way away. You know, it's about as I say, 50 kilometers, 26 miles. Did you listen to all of that? Is it all fresh in your minds? Good. We're going to do a quiz. I did threaten you. It's actually happening. So here's the quiz. You can do it on your tables. I will trust your answers. You don't need to write anything down. Trust your answers. There could be massive prizes or not. Question one. So just don't shout them out. Just make sure that on your tables you've got the answers together. How far was it from Mount Carmel to Jezreel? Question one. Right? How far was it? I'd said it about three times. How far was it? You got it? Yeah, don't say it. Just keep it in your heads. Right? Question two. Where did Ahab live? Where did the king live? Well, you had to pay attention for this one. Where did the king live? Second question. You got it? Yep. You can confer, but only on your own table. You are competing with the other tables. We are creating tribes within the church. How long was Ahab king? You have to do maths to get this one right. You have to do maths to get this one right. If you can do the complex maths known as addition or subtraction, you might get this. Yeah. Yeah, you got that one? Good. There's only five questions, so we're near there. Where was Jezebel from originally? I've said these are all easy, and you're all very smart people. Well, we'll find out shortly. Final question. How many times did Elijah send his servant up the mountain to look for the clouds? The beautiful Photoshop picture. How many times? Okay. Are we all happy? Good. Who's got the question to answer? Question one, put your hand up. It's like school. Grace. About 50 kilometers, yes. So everyone who got 50 kilometers or 30 miles gets 1 point. 1 point. You can write 1 point on your... Yeah? Point. Question two. Who knows question two? Where did Ahab live? Rachel at the back. Samaria. Very good. It wasn't Jezreel. Jezreel was a camp. He lived in Samaria. Yep. So you didn't fall for the trick question. Get another point. So you could have 2 points. Two points. Well done. Three. How long was Ahab king? I will accept there's more than one answer I accept here. Simon. 29 years, I won't accept. 21 years is spot on. That's what it actually says in 1 Kings. I'll take anything from about 16 to 22, depending on which scholar you read. But the Bible says 21 years. Yep. So if you got that one right, you've got 3 points now. If you didn't, you haven't got 3 points. Yep. Okay. Four, where was Jezebel from? Phoenicia. Yeah, Phoenicia. So if you said she was Phoenician... So if you've got that, you've got four. You're holding up 4 points. That's either because we're on question four or you've got four right. I'm embarrassed. And final question. How many times did Elijah send his servant up to check whether there were clouds? It's interesting. Someone said eight. Seven. So it's actually complicated because when you actually read the verses, they slightly disagree with each other because it said he basically said, go back seven times, which indicates a total of eight. But it then says, on the seventh time, he saw the cloud. So maybe he then was an extra one. He said, well, did you really see it? Just check again. I don't know. But I'll take seven or eight. So if you're seven or eight, yeah. So who on your tables, who got all five right? Very good. I will stop there. Quite often in quizzes, we embarrass people while we go down and forth. I'll just stop there. So fantastic. You paid attention. I feel that my job is done. Thank you. So, you know, good stuff. So, right. Now, because there were so many people with five, because these questions, there is a tiebreaker. There's actually two tiebreakers, and they're slightly different. So, let's move on. Bonus questions. Are you ready? It's amazing how competitive people are. It's a sermon. Anyway, so, what do you think his servant was thinking? What do you think? So, discuss it in your tables, because there are specific things I'm looking for. What do you think his servant was thinking? So put yourself in the mind of the servant. Think about the day they've just had. There's just been this big fire off between the prophets of Baal and Elijah. and been there all day. They've gone up. He's gone up with Elijah to the top of the mountain. Elijah's then immediately started praying, and he sent him further up to check. And then again, and then again, and then again, etc. Okay? Now, time up. Time up. So who has got an answer? John, you had an answer. That's good, valid. Entirely valid. Anyone else? Sarah at the back. When can I have dinner? Brilliant point. Yeah, brilliant. They haven't had dinner. They've had a long day. Anyone else? There's points at stake. Jeff. I'm really going to look closely. This time I'm going to clean my glasses before I go up so I can spot it. Very good. That's very true. He was with Elijah. Maybe he was used to strange things going on. He's just seen a miracle. He's just seen God napalm this and burn up rocks and stuff. Maybe he was used to miracles. Maybe he's used to miracles. So I thought about this quite long and hard. And I thought, you know, if I was the servant, you know, yes, I'm used to seeing, you know, Elijah do amazing things and praying and God instantly responding and all this type of stuff. But seven times? Really? Seven times? I think the first three I'd be good. First three I'd be good. I mean, it doesn't quite say how far he had to go. Maybe he had to climb another 200 meters. Who knows? And he's had a long day. He's had no food. And Elijah keeps sending him up. Go again. Go again. I think by the third time I'd be done. Right? But he kept going seven times. And for me, it was kind of, it struck a note, because quite often, you know, we wait on things. We're waiting on an answer for prayer. We're waiting on an answer for prayer. We've prayed, and even when God has been so faithful in the past and has maybe immediately answered prayers, I expect an immediate response again. And when I don't do it, I do human things like get frustrated. And I start losing faith, and I start thinking, he's not listening, and I start thinking, maybe I didn't ask right, and all these sorts of things. So I think his servant, if his servant didn't grumble, I think, what a guy. What a guy. What you know, what faith is that servant saying to just keep going and keep going, and in the face of all evidence to the contrary, because he's done it six times, to go again the seventh time and say, no, I believe you. I believe you. You know, I know that, you know, it's like the reverse of crying wolf. It's just keep going and there will be an answer. So that was quite, okay. So I have awarded mentally some points to some of those answers, which we'll find out later. Final question. Why did Elijah keep sending him? Seems obvious, but have a think about that. You've got about 30 seconds. So get yourself in Elijah's head. What was he thinking, right? He's thinking, where's the rain, right? The points for this answer could make all the difference, just so you know. John. Okay, good. Yeah, I mean, seven's certainly a number that crops up in the Bible. It tends to refer to things like completeness and those sorts of areas. So yeah, could be. Anyone else? Stephen. He was a prophet. I'm not going any further. You can go. Yeah. Yes, anyone else? So I think all very good answers. So you're right. So Ahab's there. God has promised him it's going to happen. God has promised him it's going to happen. He prayed. God said, responded to him, yes. And I think that's wonderful, because I rarely get such clear response from God when I pray. That might just be me. So I'm working on faith. I pray. I wait for an answer. God doesn't say, yeah, it's all right, Chris, I'm going to do it, but it'll be a while, but just you can relax now. Right? I don't hear that. So Elijah could be just, yeah, he was just He just needed to know as soon as it was ready, kept sending the servant, as soon as it's ready, etc. And there is a lot about that, because the reason he spoke to Ahab and said, it's going to rain, get ready, go, go and have a meal, get ready, go, is because there'd been drought for 3.5 years. So the terrain wasn't all beautiful and green like we saw in the previous slide. It was likely dusty and, you know. So when there was this deluge of rain, it was going to get muddy, the rivers were going to swell, so there's no way chariots were going to have an easy time getting back to Jezreel where the king's camp was. So there certainly was some urgency in getting moving because there was a big storm coming. But equally, you know, it was just waiting on the answer. I'll keep going. I know it's happening. So for me, it was a demonstration of absolute faith. I'm prepared, maybe even to embarrass myself to the servant. I know he's doing the work and not me, but I'm going to keep asking and I'm going to keep asking because God is always faithful. God always delivers on his promise. And so even if it's 1,000 times, it's going to happen. So we're going to keep going and I'm just going to wait and wait on the Lord until he's again faithful on these types of things. Excellent. That is the quiz over. You'll be glad to know that some of you passed. There won't be certificates. There are prizes, but we'll do those later. So it's interesting. In the New Testament, James was writing prayer, and he actually used Elijah as an example in some of his letters to say, you know, here's a guy who prayed and got spectacular results. But I really loved actually the first verse because he wrote, Elijah was a human being. We're all human beings. Like, he was just a guy. Okay, he was a mighty prophet and a believer in God and a faithful man and all those things. But he was just a human being. Right? Even as we are, he was a human being. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it didn't rain for 3.5 years. And then he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced crops. Right? The power of God through prayer, through a human being. Right? So I'm in awe of Elijah because of his faith, but I'm more in awe of God because of his faithfulness and what he did. Right? And it wasn't just instant, like, you know, when he prayed to stop the rain, it just stopped and there was drought for 3.5 years. But here we're waiting. We're waiting on the Lord. We're waiting on the response. And so that's something I've got a lot to learn from that. I'm quite impatient. I want immediate. I want answers. I want answers to prayer. And it doesn't always come when I want. And sometimes it comes in a different way. But it comes in God's time, and it's all, you know, retrospectively, it's always perfect. And repeatedly, I don't understand that until after the event. Right? So for me, you know, waiting on God. So do pray. But sometimes the answer is wait. And that's okay. That's okay. Because God has a perfect plan for all of us. And in his time and by his will, the right things get done. So have a think. You know, for you, there might be things you're praying for now, situations, etc., you're waiting, and you might not be getting an instant answer. But there's power in waiting. And there's confidence in the Lord that he loves us and he wants to do the right thing by us. So this week, have a think about that. If there's stuff that's not happened for you, then keep praying. Keep praying. And wait. And know that God is good. Amen. I couldn't finish without doing a bit of a trailer for next week. So the next episode is part 2, and there are things in it: death threats, angels, food, and meeting God. And I can't wait to hear more of God's faithfulness. Thank you.